morning, Tom. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey, I guess, if nothing else, you've bought 7 days of no more questions like, hey, what's the matter with Tom Brady? You said a week ago that you were going to correct this with hard work, and obviously you did. Did Tennessee's inability to deal with the elements and their injuries at quarterbacks also play into this for you yesterday?
Well, you know, I think we executed well yesterday, and the elements were they're challenging in a way. Coach Belichick always tells us, says, hey, you know, the opponent's not the wind tomorrow, or the opponent's not the snow, you know, the opponent's the Titans, and we went out there and I think played obviously our best game of the year, but you know, I think we probably had our best week of practice too. So it was nice to see it come together the way it did, and hopefully, you know, there's a few more of these to follow.
Phil Simms said a couple of interesting things on the broadcast yesterday. First and foremost, he said that you watched a lot of film this week and picked up some flaws or some technical things that helped you, you know, get over whatever hump you needed to get over. A, is that true?
Well, kind of, yeah. You know, I think of the, you know, the football, throwing the football, very similar to the way a golfer is a golf swing, or, you know, a jump shooter, you know, is a jump shooter, or, you know, a baseball player, you know, swings the bat. Mm-hmm. So there's technical things you need to do, and, you know, sometimes you get into some bad habits, and you know, just try to spend some time this week correcting those things, and you know, it was only one game, and obviously we played a lot better yesterday, so we'll see how it continues to go, and I'm just hoping we bring that level of energy and that discipline to our team, and you know, that mental toughness that we did yesterday. That's probably what I was most excited about.
And B, Phil Simms said you warmed up poorly prior to the game, trying to find a glove, not trying to find a glove, not throwing the ball well. Is that accurate? Did you warm up poorly?
It was tough earlier because it was really rainy, and once the snow comes. The snow's obviously easier to play in the rain, you know, because the ball doesn't get as wet in the snow. In the rain, it was soaked before the game, and there's no ref to really, you know, place the ball. The ball's not with the ball boys in pregame. It's just once the ball's wet, it's wet. So I don't think it was too poor. I got to talk to Phil about that.
No, they had some video of you dropping a ball in the warm-ups and then taking the glove off and then putting it on, so you kind of ran with that. But
yeah.
Hey, Tom, what did you think at halftime? Did you think you had one more series to play, maybe a couple more series? And were you involved? Do you involved in that decision at all? Does Belichick or any coach say, you know,
what do you want to do?
What do you think?
Yeah.
Not at all. You know, I have no part in that decision. And the thing that I felt was, you know, we played poorly in the two games we've lost this year in the second half. So I wanted to go out there and play as long as I could in the second half. I mean, that's important for us to come out and start playing 60 minutes out there and not just go out there for, you know, one good half and then go suck it off for the next 30 minutes. So, you know, I thought as a team we played well the entire game, and no matter who was in there, whether it was Hoyer or guys subbing for Randy or Dan Connolly subbing for Copin or Patrick Chung subbing in there, those guys all played really well too.
Yeah.
So it was good to see. I mean, we're going to need everybody. I know that. It's a long season, and there's a lot of injuries, and everybody's going to have to step in there and do the job at some point.
You always point out that Belichick finds something to bitch about, scream about, scold you guys about, even on a game after a game like this. First of all, what do you think that'll be? And secondly, do you have that same mentality personally? Do you think of your mistakes more than your successes? And did you make any? Because we sure didn't see any.
Yeah. You know, the way I look at it, honestly, guys, is, you know, it was one game and we played well. And I think it's important not to ride the roller coaster of the NFL season. I mean, you got to believe and be confident in what you're doing as an offense, as a team, as a player. And you just have to keep going out there and going back to work. And Kevin Falk said last week, he said after the game, he said, listen, guys, you know, congratulate the other team. This was after the Denver game. Congratulate the other team, and let's get back to work. And I think that's when you play 16 games, and this isn't the playoffs. I mean, that's what happens. You win one game, you evaluate what happened, you try to make the corrections, you learn from the mistakes, and then you move forward. And I think it's very similar to this game. I mean, you take the good things from it. You understand the things you did well, the reasons why we played better, the reasons why we executed better, and then you hopefully move forward into next week with a better awareness so that you can possibly go out there and play that type of game again. So it's not much more than that. I mean, it's obviously fun to be a part of. I mean, Sunday is awesome. I mean, to go out there and play like that in conditions like that. I mean, believe me, everybody was really happy after the game. But, you know, we've obviously still got a long, long road ahead.
So Bill's going to bitch about the delay of game call in the first quarter, isn't he?
I'm sure he will.
Hey, on that same vein of what you're just talking about, you know, gaining confidence from this game but realizing it was just a game. You know, you see this in the NBA all the time, Tom. More often than not, it's in the playoffs when you play a team, you know, two and three and four times in a row, where one team blows another team out with relative ease. I mean, it is just a cakewalk. And then the next time, because human nature being what it is, the game is much more competitive, and oftentimes the team that gets blown out ends up winning the next game. You don't see that as being a possibility here with this football team based on leadership, coaching, and how you guys are in the moment. Is that fair to say?
Well, we take every week as just that. It's never about, listen, you know, we got to win the next four, you know, or, you know, we got to, you know, let's look forward to, you know, that November, you know, 22nd game, whatever it is. You know, I think every team presents challenges. Every team has good players. Every team has good coaches. Every team has good schemes. Every team has strengths and weaknesses. And really it takes a couple plays here and there to change the momentum of a game and ultimately change the outcome of a game. So you can't take any of these teams lightly. I mean, there's some teams you play one week and you go, God, when we played the Jets in week two, it was like, man, we were terrible. And, you know, how's anybody going to beat the Jets? And now all of a sudden they're 3-3. So that's just the way it goes. I mean, there's a reason why you play 16 games. And it's over the course of the season to sustain injuries, to, you know, you see the depth of the team, you see the quality of the coaching, you see the mental toughness of the team, of the execution. You know, there's trends that really take place within teams, whether it's penalties or being good on third down or being good on the red area or being good in short yardage or, you know, all these situational things that you've got to build on over the course of time. So to just evaluate after one game or after two games, I don't think, you know, any of us really get into. I mean, we look at this as a long season and continuing to build and make improvements.
Tom, I was going to save this question toward the end, but since you brought up the Jets, I'll ask it now. At the end of the game, when it was 59-0 and you've got the parka on and the ski cap on, you had a very animated and long conversation with Junior. And you and Junior were sharing this moment and enjoying yourself and so on and so forth. And the camera took a close-up of you, and I read your lips, and you said, "And before that, we lost at home to the Jets." If you don't mind sharing the context of that thing, was Junior saying to you, "How did this football team ever lose a game this year, Tom?" Because you said, "And after that, we lost at home to the Jets."
At the Jets.
Junior was telling me, he said, "Listen," I said, "Junior," he said, "you show up for one game and win by 60 points." I said, "Where the hell were you 6 weeks ago?" And he said, "Tommy, I'll tell you a crazy stat." He goes, "Since, you know, I've come back, you know, after the Chicago Bear game in 2006, we haven't lost a regular season game with Junior on the roster." Uh-huh. Knock on wood here. You know, he broke his arm in the Bear game, which we won. And before that, we went on the road and we won. And then we lost at home to the Jets in the rain.
Uh-huh.
We went 16-0 the next year. And then he came back for the last four games of last year. So he's 21-22-0 in his last 22 regular season games. So
no wonder Bill brought him back in early, huh?
I know. That's what I'm saying. I said, "Junior, we figured out the problem."
Hey, Tom, the flea flicker, I'm going to do a John Dennis. Two-part question here. Did you think you had enough on it when you launched it? Because that was the only pass we could come up with that didn't appear to be right on the money. Randy had to slow down a little bit. And with a play like that, do you ever consider saving it? I mean, didn't you just show it to all your future opponents?
Yeah, but, you know, flea flicker is it's a great play for the offense, especially in conditions like that yesterday where you think ball handling may be an issue because of the weather. But once they really bite up on that run fake, it's really hard for them to turn around and go the other way with Randy.
Especially when it's Randy running.
Yeah, I mean, no one's going to catch him once he gets behind him. So when I saw Randy, I saw him really start to turn it on, and I just threw it. And I knew I got enough on it, and we were kind of throwing in. That's where the wind was coming from that lighthouse end. So, you know, I tried to really drive the ball into the wind, and, you know, he made a great catch. The guy was recovered, you know, pretty nicely, and he was close, but Randy made a great catch. So it was a great call, and you know, it's different when you hit those big plays. And I think when they're there, you got to hit them, and you got to change field position. And it's nice to get those big chunks and score touchdowns. That's something that we obviously haven't done this year. So,
Tom, in your mind, what qualifies as a satisfying, successful touchdown play, and which was the most satisfying to you of the six yesterday? The flea flicker, or maybe the one where you stepped up and got whacked in the mouth by Chris Hope, or something else?
Yeah. I think that second one was pretty cool. I mean, it's not really how we drew it up, you know. It was a play where we had Randy was going to the post, and I think he, for some reason, he ran straight up field and he threw his arm up. I remember that, mm-hmm. And I think the corner sat there, but he really, you know, he kind of saw something, and I kind of drifted to the left because I was actually trying to throw the ball to Ben. And then I saw Randy break back across the back end line and threw it. And you know, the guy hit me as I was going down. But it was a good play. It was a good football play by a lot of people, by the offensive line, obviously, and by Randy uncovering himself back there.
Yeah.
And that was a fun one. We haven't had many of those this year either. So it's kind of nice when you – we had a few other plays, like the screen play to Kevin for a touchdown. Also the one to West, a little bit longer one.
Right.
You know, we drew those plays up thinking, okay, this is what they're going to be in. This is how we want to execute it, and then this guy should be open. So, and they worked out perfect. So it's kind of nice when that happens.
When it was clear the calls were on the money and you were on the money and the routes were on the money, were your receivers lobbying you harder than usual in the huddle, saying, I'm wide open on every play? Because you know what? For once, they were probably telling the truth.
And why didn't you get one to Ben Watson? He's going to be pissed.
I know. Believe me, they let me know. Believe Randy's always open. He goes, Tommy, I'm open. You know, he'll say, stay with me. So, you know, and I see on the film, and there's four guys on him. So, you know, that's the way it is. I'd rather have, you know, every guy say, you know, throw me the ball, I'm open, give me the ball, than nobody want the ball. So, you know, the best receivers I know have always been the ones that want that ball, and they wanted the ball in crunch time.
Hey, from our perspective in front of the TV, because we weren't hardy enough to go down there and sit in the snow, but sitting there in front of the TV, Sebastian Vollmer seemed like he did his job extraordinarily well yesterday. They focused on him a few times, running plays, passing plays. He looks ready, and I'm not saying to take Matt Light's job, but he certainly looks ready to play a big role for this team.
Yeah, I mean, he's when you speak to him, he's really mature.
Really?
Mature man, young man. You know, he's still young to me, and he's really well coached. He's a really smart, intelligent, you know, player. So he's big and he's physical and he moves very well. So he's got a lot of skill, and you know, you match that skill with some intelligence and with some great coaching from Dante, and you know, that's what you get. So. You know, I said after the game, that's the role of that swing tackle, that when somebody goes down, you got to be ready to step in and perform well because there's no let-up, whether it's Van de Bosch or whether it's
right.
You know, Ellis, whether it's Taylor, whether it's Freeney. I mean, that's where the best pass rushers are. So, you know, I love having Matt in there. There's no one like Matt to me. He's a great player. He's been a great player for a long time. And, I look forward to getting Matt back. But in the meantime, Sebastian's really, you know, performed very well to this point. And, you know, that's great to know for us, and it's great to see.
Hey, Tom, we haven't had nearly the number of, hey, they're running up the score calls as we did back in 2007 when you guys were running up the score.
We got a couple who think you didn't score enough.
Yeah.
You should have stayed in there.
That leads me to a two-part question. Could you score 90 had you stayed in the game, first of all? Quick one.
Yeah.
Could you have scored 90?
Probably not.
No,
75.
Yeah, well.
But the few who did call in said, What was the point of calling timeouts and running the no huddle with 1:16 left in the second quarter getting to halftime? And is the answer to that not because there's added football value to run that two-minute no huddle, hurry up offense for down the road when you need to do it?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And you know, on the 50-yard line, probably I think we were on. After the punt, it was kind of mishit. But it was the first time we were in a four wide no huddle with all four receivers on the field. Mm-hmm. Normally we don't do that. So to go out there and try to execute that, those are all valuable situations for us. And we've actually moved the ball really well in 2 minute all year. We had a couple that we didn't, obviously, Denver game and the Jet game. But other than that, I mean, every time we've done that, we've done well, whether it's before the half, even though sometimes we haven't got the ball in the end zone. We've always moved it, and I think that's we have a great source of confidence in that for our team, knowing that if we do need to move it, and let's say it's a 3-point game or a 6-point game,
right,
we're going to get down there and get that ball in the end zone.
And they say when conditions are bad, the mentally tougher team prevails. And that was certainly proven yesterday in Foxborough. But would that apply next week, Tom? Going to London has to be a real weird, surreal kind of feeling, playing a real game in London. You guys have more experience. You guys are mentally tough. Do you have an advantage over this winless Tampa team because of the location of this game?
I think it's a tough game for both teams in that sense. I mean, we've never traveled east, obviously, so that's a bit of a different situation for us, and the body clocks will have to get adjusted. We're leaving on Thursday. You know, we're playing a team that obviously isn't having the season they've wanted to, but they've got some good football players too. So they have their strengths and weaknesses. They're going to come out there and give everything they got and be ready to play. So are we. So I haven't done much work on them yet. I mean, obviously that's going to start when I get off the phone call with you guys. But you never know these games. They're different sorts of games, and I think in some ways I'm excited to go over there and play in London just because I know this is probably the only time in my career that we'll ever get a chance to do that. So we'll remember this one for our entire careers, all of us playing in this game. So that's kind of adds a little bit more of, some intrigue to the game. And I just hope – I'm really excited to get back out on the field again and see if we can keep building on it. That's what I want to see. I want to see us get out there and take this week and learn from it and then see if we can go out there and put together another great week. And that, to me, I'm really looking forward to.
Tom, at 59-0, it was so out of hand that I thought, in my estimation, the officials were starting to feel sorry for the Titans. Clearly, when they said Vince Young's forward progress was stopped at the second at the 2-yard line, it was not a safety. It really was a safety. Question for you: do you think it would have been bad form for Belichick to throw the red challenge flag out on the safety at that point?
I was surprised he didn't. I'm serious. I thought it would.
Coach Belichick's tough, but I don't know if he's that tough.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be
that'd be mean.
I might have gone and tried to catch the red flag if I saw him pull it out of his pocket. So I'd have made a diving reception on, 4 yards into the playing field to try to hide that red flag. So,
did you see Brian Hoyer's touchdown celebration, and did he catch any grief for it? It was
the Eagle, spread the
Randy
Eagle
Moss thing
yeah.
where you kind of spread.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. That was pretty funny.
What does it mean?
What does that mean for Randy?
Well, what does it mean? Why is Hoyer doing Randy's thing?
I don't know. Randy got a kick out of it, so I thought it was pretty funny. Randy's thing is, he splits the defense.
Right.
So Hoyer, I think, split the defense from half a yard out.
Oh,
after
got it.
I told him he got blasted on the first down play.
Well, Vollmer shoved him into the end zone.
Vollmer deserved the credit for that touchdown. He should have got the ball for that. Got to, got to dance a little, spike the ball or something.
Did he push him?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good, smart rookie play. I'm happy he did that.
Hey, as best as you could tell, was there much talk on the sideline in the second half about preserving the shutout by the defense? Was it something they were into?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. That doesn't come up often.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe once a year. And, when it happens, it's something to be proud of. And they hardly gave up any yards even. I mean, less than 200 yards and probably the best, one of the best running backs in the league that, you know, Chris Johnson, there's nobody faster. I don't think anybody, you know, coach said he doesn't think there's 10 defensive players in the league that are faster than Chris Johnson. And I think it's hard pressed to think of one that's faster than him.
Yeah.
So he had a great game. And he's a good player, but that shutout was a great thing to see for our defense and gives them a lot of, you know, confidence as well because they're playing against a team that has some explosive receivers, you know, a veteran quarterback, you know, a solid offensive line and some good running backs. Them both gave a good pass-catching tight end. So, you know, to shut those guys down, that was a great effort.
And not that it matters because you have no control over it, but after you play Tampa in London, that's week 7, week 8 is your bye week. If you were to be able to choose when that bye week would come, is that about right in your mind, Tom, after week 7?
Yeah, that's great. 7, 8, 9, right in there.
Yeah.
That's the best. That's the best because when you have them earlier in the year, you don't.
Like wasted.
Yeah, it's kind of a waste. And we have had one. I remember we had one in week 3. Or was it week 2? We had one in week 2, maybe in 2004, and that was terrible.
Yeah.
So if this is about the right time. Everyone needs it. We got quite a few guys banged up, and you know, if that extra week there, hopefully, you know, saves us a little bit. So we got to get some of these injured guys back, and you know, we're kind of running thin at certain positions, and you got to keep finding ways to have different personnel packages to still move the football, but, you know, we're going to need to get some guys back at some point, too.
All right, we wrap it up with the Renaissance Alliance Power and Cloud Quarterback Question of the Week. It comes to us from Paul Baluski, and he's from Fall River. Paul wants to know, hey, Tom, who is the most intimidating defensive player that you go against, and why?
For me, you know, as a quarterback, I think it's probably Dwight Freeney, and he's a... He just every play with him is a game-changing play, and I think that's the guys you look for. Probably in the secondary, it's Ed Reed, because I don't know if you saw that play made against Carson Palmer last week on the interception return for a touchdown, but he has no business even being a part of that play, and he intercepts it and runs back for a touchdown. And then Dwight Freeney, he's just every time you throw the ball, he's a factor. So, I mean, I don't know how long, you know, you – as a quarterback, you probably have anywhere from a second and a half to sometimes 4 seconds to make your decision and throw the ball. With Freeney, it's probably like consistently around 2 seconds, with sometimes being, you know, from the time the ball snapped to, you know, a second and a half, you got to throw that ball. So there's no time for decision making, but you're making your decision before the ball snapped based on the coverage where you're going to throw. So, you know, those are two guys who every time you play them, you know, you got nightmares all week about what they're doing and what they're capable of doing, and you know you're just hoping not to, you know, allow them to take over the game.
So if his quad acted up, let's say November 15th, you wouldn't be really heartbroken by that,
oh,
right?
Oh man, that would make my I'd be an early Christmas kid. That'd be Christmas in November.
Tom, we appreciate the time. When you're overseas, have you heard the expression "mind the gap"?
No.
All right, you're in charge. That's your homework assignment when you're over in London. Figure out what "mind the gap" means.
Okay, I'll
and we'll
do
talk
that
to you Tuesday when you get back with a little jet lag.
All right, sounds good.
Mind the gap, Tom. Tom Brady.